Blog Talk Radio.
Everything is going to be all right. You're listening to Tippy Talk. Time now to sit back, relax, listen, and enjoy the moment. Newborn is the official band that provides all the music for Tippy Talk. To hear more of their music, you can go to newbornband.com and enjoy their wonderful sound. And now it is time to step into the Tippy Zone, where we explore the other side of reality. Side that allows you to reshape your life, step into your power, and connect to the fact that we are all one. Welcome to Tippy Talk, where we go from where you are to where you want to be. I'm your host, Tippy Feldstein. Everybody, and good morning. Today we are going to give you some amazing new information about mental health. Once again, my name is Tippy Feldstein, and my guest today is Michael Weitzman, someone that everybody wants to meet and everybody has fun when they meet him. Michael is dedicated to expose the mental health and mental illness for what it is. He's going to be talking about the three amigos, and stay tuned, you will find out what they are, and staying alive, the two ways that he expresses himself, which is really amazing. So I'd like to welcome and thank you, Michael, for joining us today here on Tippy Talk.
Thank you very much for having me.
And totally our pleasure. I think what you're doing is really, really important. And I think that your focus on mental illness and mental health, being that people really don't understand it, is something that we really need, something that society really needs. And the more education we get, the better it is. So what is it that made you so passionate about it? Did something happen to you personally?
Well, that happened to me very simply is that I struggled for over 40 years with a mental illness, mainly depression and then bipolar. And at an early age, I suffered what is called, as I call it, as when I get into the Three Amigos in a little while, Three Amigos of Mental Health, I suffered in silence. I suffered so many different times when I was young. I suffered when I was in college. I knew something was wrong, but I was one of those people in the world that was not going to deal, not going to tell anyone and going to deal with that stigma and self-stigmatize myself. So for many, many years, I was able to at least hang in there. I used to always want to go to parties. And when I was young and in college, I did not want to go. I wanted to do one of the biggest things that you do when you have a depression. It's called isolate. And so I did a lot of isolation. I just wasn't my same self. I was able to get through college, was great, but I really struggled with my mental illness, struggled in silence with my mental illness. And it just something that I just could not get better. What really happened was after I graduated college and I was just lucky to get through, what happened is that I finally got a decent job after 6 years of struggling and still having that mental illness within me. I did not get help. I definitely just continued to struggle and struggle in silence. I got into the mortgage industry, and that was in 1987. And then that's where all of a sudden I found out that I got this amazing talent of being a rep, a sales rep, and I started to dominate in the mortgage industry. But which the thing is, the mortgage industry was doing unbelievably well. I was doing unbelievably well. So the money that I made was just like an antidepressant. I made the money, and that was, everything was fantastic. But I know deep inside I was still struggling, but not enough to go out and get help, because I'm saying, hey, I'm making all this money. Why should I have to worry about that? So I really struggled all this time, but in silence, and then just made all this money in the mortgage industry. And then, what can I say? I got married, had a couple of children. I have two beautiful girls, and everything was going okay. But then as a commissioned sales rep, dealing with depression and bipolar is one of the hardest things you can do, because your income can vary up and down. And I got very nervous, very worrisome about a lot of different things. And then basically the industry changed, as you know, in 2007, 2008, and I would not make the money I would. I also had a very, let's put it this way, unloving and verbal abusive wife that did not believe that I had depression. Even those days I was laying in the couch with my head in there, not wanting to get up, not wanting to do anything. She just thought I was just, didn't want to be a dad, didn't want to be a father. And she was one of the ones I'll get into in a little while, is a third amigo that just doesn't understand what it tastes like and what it feels like to have a mental illness. So with my struggles for all these years, and then I had a suicide attempt, I tried to take my life on January 2nd, 2008, and that's when I finally went into a hospital. But it wasn't until really when I was married and with my two kids in 1999, that's when I finally did something about it. I call it the triangle. I went and saw a psychiatrist, went to get medicine, and saw a therapist in 1999, finally. That was 20 years ago.
That's amazing, Michael. But let me ask you something. You said that you suffered from mental health issues for 40 years. Did you know that you were suffering from mental health, or you just thought life was like that? And also, how did you know?
Well, the bottom line is I knew damn well, unfortunately, that I was suffering with a mental illness. But I was one of those people that I wasn't going to tell really anybody. I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to man it up and just do the best I can and get through, whether it was when I was single in those days, when I was in college, then when I eventually got married. I was one of those people that was not coming out of the closet, and I call it the mental health closet, until basically 1999. And that's when I said, I have to try something. My wife said, if you go to the hospital or take medicine, I will divorce you. And several times I wouldn't go, and then finally I said, screw it, I'm going. I got to try something. Was trying all these different things, the medicine, psychiatry, and the talkers, but it wasn't getting me to the promised land. Because after that, then eventually I got a divorce, and then basically, like I said, I had a suicide attempt in 2000 in in 2001. And the bottom line right now is in 2000, it was on 2008 is when I made my suicide attempt. So the bottom line is right now is that I've done everything that finally to not do anything about mental illness, and then finally doing something about mental illness. So that's really what the whole story was. But I suffered so much with my mental illness and mental health, and I did not get help until 99. And then after that time, up until 2008, January 2nd, I still wasn't getting better. I would get better, and then I would sick again. Then I get better, then I get sick again, then I get better. And it just was just a total thing. I would get a job, then a job wouldn't work anymore. I had to get out of the mortgage industry, and I tried to get a job at Terminix or another job from ADT, and it just wasn't working out at all for many, many years.
So were there any other people in your life that had some kind of a mental illness that made
nothing
you understand
at all.
What
there's
you were
nothing
going
in my background. There's nothing in my kids' background. There's nothing in my parents' background. There's nothing in my siblings, my sister, my brother's background. There was nothing at all dealing with that. The hardest part about mental illness is if you've never had it or you don't have a mental illness and you don't know what it tastes like and feels like, Most people will run the other way. Most people will not get involved. They have all these different myths that I talk about in my workshop. They say that you can get it. It's contagious. It's a biggest farce. The bottom line is the reason why, and I'll get into it in a minute, why I'm doing something to talk about it, be an advocate and a spokesman and a speaker and performer, is because I need to educate and bring out awareness about mental illness, that it's not your fault. It hasn't been my fault, but I blamed myself for all those years before I was married, when I was married, up until I got divorced, and when I had my suicide attempt in 2008, and up until 2014, October 29th, that's the great day that changed my life, I really still struggled with my mental illness, and I tried everything to get better, and it just wasn't working.
So that's a very hurtful background. You went through a lot, and you came up with these three amazing amigos who help you tell people about mental illness. So what are the three amigos?
Well, remember, it's not just the three amigos. It's the three amigos of mental health. Very important you say that.
The three amigos
is a movie done in 1987. Yeah, because the movie in 1987. And that's not the three amigos. This is the three amigos of mental health. I came up with when I was in a psychiatric hospital, my sixth psychiatric hospital stay back in October of 2014. While I was in that hospital, I said to myself, Michael, I want to do something for the first time. I want to make sure when I come out, I want to be well and I want to stay mentally well. I've always gotten better, but I've always gotten sick again. So I said, that's my goal. That's what I want to do. So I came up with the Three Amigos of Mental Health in a psychiatric hospital over 4.5 years ago. I came up with things when I'll talk about called the bipolar mint gum. It's a thing about having fun with your mental health. Don't make fun, have fun. I talked about bipolar no longer. This is one thing I came up with. Eventually, I came up with another character as well called Mrs. Staying Alive. But the Three Amigos of Mental Health was designed in a psychiatric hospital. Once I got basically let go, it's almost like a jail in a way, but once I was discharged in October 29, 2014, I have not looked back because it's all about basically – I want to make this statement. I want to not just get rid of, I want to smoke this stigma of mental illness, get rid of it to the point that it is no different than walking down the road having a broken arm or someone that it has cancer. But the problem is when you have a mental illness, our society still believes that you can't get better or that you're a monster or you can't get well or whatever they're thinking about. All these misnomers, I want to change it. And that's what I've been doing since I got out. The Three Amigos is a workshop. I speak and perform all over high schools, colleges, conferences, clinics, libraries, you name it. And I'm trying to get that to be eventually someday the main job where I'm speaking and performing all over the world, even in London and all over the place, because we need to get something where somebody is educating, inspiring, motivating, entertaining, using humor, and helping everybody with their mental health challenges in every different way. And the most important thing, just to make sure you understand what the Three Amigos of Mental Health is, it stands for either you're suffering with a mental health condition. That's the first amigo. The second amigo is someone that is suffering in silence with their mental health condition. And the third amigo is somebody that is not suffering at all. I'm trying to get all the Three Amigos and the Three Amigos Mental Health to help and support one another to be friends, amigos. And the most important amigo is the third amigo that does not suffer with one. I'm trying to get them an understanding what it tastes like and what it feels like to have a mental illness. With all the passion that I have, I want to show through all the struggles that I had and all the deals of suffering with my mental illness, I want to help people that are suffering in silence and not suffering at all. Because once they understand what it tastes like and feels like, then they're going to tell their loved ones and friends and be supportive to them as well.
So that's the three amigos that you actually present, the one that is actually suffering in silence, the ones that are not suffering at all. And the ones that are not suffering at all, I think, is a really important one because they don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that are suffering, not in silence, the ones that are doing something about it.
Well, my ex-wife was, I would assume, I thought she was a third amigo and did not understand what it's like that someone is suffering with a mental illness. I think she has that. I also thought maybe she was suffering herself, but again, was one that was suffering in silence. Because, you know, one out of four people in the United States has a mental illness. This is documented. But we don't know out of the other percentage, there could be another 0.25% that are suffering in silence. But we don't know. They're not coming out. They're not seeing a psychiatrist. They're not seeing a therapist. They're not going out, you know, getting the help they need because they're suffering in silence. So I want to be that bridge. I am not going to be for everyone. I just want to be someone that they can call. And yes, you have resources. You have many places. You have NAMI. You have, I'm involved with them. You have MHA. You have hospitals and clinics and psychiatrists and social workers. There's so many great, amazing organizations and resources out there. But you've never seen me speak and perform. You never saw me do the Three Amigos of Mental Health. I use props. I use passion and I use humor as my biggest wellness tool. And then the most important thing is to show people that even if you're suffering, try something else. Try all these other types of wellness tools that I have done that I still use, like meditation, deep breathing exercises, affirmations, creed, prayer, God, Bible, Jesus, hypnosis, acupuncture, walking in the woods, aromatherapy, there's some CBD, TBD. There's so many different types of types of wellness tools that you can use for your mental health and your mental health challenges, whether you're suffering or suffering and not, or suffering in silence or not suffering at all. So I want to be that person out there all over the world to make that difference, because I suffered my whole life and I don't want anyone else to suffer the same way that I suffered with a mental illness.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Somebody called me up yesterday at 7 o'clock in the morning and told me she's very depressed and there's nothing she could do about it, and I think I will send her to you. So if I want to send her to you, where do I tell her to go?
Well, the bottom line is you want to tell her, if there's someone is suffering or suffering in silence or someone that needs to be educated, they can always contact me. They can always get me on Instagram. It's Weitzman Michael. It's W-E-I-T-Z-M-A-N, Michael. They can always email me at mweitzman, that's mweitzman3@gmail.com. They can find me on Facebook with Michael Weitzman. I'm all over the social media. The point is, what I am doing this for is a very simple reason. I want to help others. That's what the definition of passion, that's the definition of success in Michael Weitzman's eyes. And the other thing is, besides the Three Amigos, I've also come up with a character that is also called in the Three Amigos of Mental Health, called Mrs. Staying Alive. And it's basically a character that's basically Patch Adams meets Mrs. Doubtfire, or you can call me the White Medea, whatever you want to call me. And it's all about, it doesn't matter who you are, inside and out, whether you're gay, black, white, lesbian, whether you're old, young, have a mental illness, chronic illness, disability, it doesn't matter who you are inside and out. We are all what? Created equal, and we all need to help and improve our quality of life. So I have a character that I do stand-up comedy with. She's also in my workshop. I do that as Bipolar No Longer, and sometimes when I dress up as Mrs. Staying Alive. And again, it's all about the education awareness, but the most important thing of my workshop is the wellness tools, but the most important thing is using humor as your biggest wellness tool. And that is something that's not used enough in this life. A four-year-old child laughs 300 to 400 times a day. You know how many times a 40-year-old laughs during the day? Between 3 and 10. We need to have more humor. We need laughter and smiles more in our life. So if they ever want to contact me, they have the emails, they have the Instagram account, and the most important thing is I will have my book coming out, The Three Amigos of Mental Health book. I will also have the documentary that I'm trying to work on and the movie of all movies that deals with mental health, and also gets into disabilities, chronic illnesses, and the elderly, and many other things I'm trying to change in this world. And of course, it wouldn't be the same without a Three Amigos of Mental Health Broadway show. So yes, I am trying something that needs to be done. I'm trying to make a difference in our society because I suffered so much with my mental illness, and I don't want anyone else to suffer, and I want them to try other types of wellness tools and things that I recommend to go whatever they're dealing with, to go from recovery to discovery or discovery to recovery.
Wow. So tell me about Mrs. Staying Alive.
Well, Mrs. Staying Alive is I auditioned for America's Got Talent. It was an amazing experience. I made everyone crack up. The reason I am in the mental health field and the reason I have a little bit of Mrs. Staying Alive is because of someone on August 11th that took his life, going to be 5 years coming real soon. His name is Robin Williams. Now, I'm not trying to be like Robin Williams. I'm just trying to dedicate a little bit of my life. That's the two movies I love is Patch Adams and Mrs. Doubtfire. So I really put that together because in Patch Adams, it's all about giving people the quality of life that they need, regardless of what's going on with them. And Mrs. Doubtfire, of course, is dressing up as a woman for his reason to have his kids. But the point is, Mrs. Staying Alive is again going to audition for America's Got Talent. I hope to get on this time to do my stand-up comedy. I have a lot of humor that's based on mental health and other humor that's just regular humor that's dedicated to the character of Mrs. Staying Alive. And she is someone to be reckoned with. It's someone that basically is going to get rid of the stigma of mental illness by using humor. I call it sit-down humor because I'm very old in the character, but it's also stand-up. And it's all about Mrs. Staying Alive using the humor and the walker and all the different things and have fun with your mental health. Don't make fun. Have fun. And that is all about. And what I'm trying to do in the workshop is make it cool, make it sexy, make it humorous, make it enjoyable, make it fun to talk and work on your mental health and your mental health challenges. And I want to be that other source that someone can get well and stay well with their mental health, just like I have done, which is now going on over 4.5 years. I've been unbelievably mentally well. I use all my wellness tools, and now I speak and perform all over. I'm trying to get on TV. I do radio shows like your own and others. I just did a TV show, and eventually, hopefully, I will get my exposure and the fame to go around to help people. And again, my definition of success is not materialistic or having money. It's about doing everything in your power to use your passion to help others.
So why do you think that humor is one of the most important things? I mean, I love humor. Don't get me wrong. I think humor is good for everyone all the time. But why do you feel that it's the biggest wellness tool that you have?
The reason why humor is one of my biggest wellness tools, it's one of the use that I use all the time. I used it my whole life doing stand-up, doing my own kind of comedy, writing material, is because there's many different things that it will do for you. It will lift your mood. It will release endorphins. There's so many different things. It will dull and kill the pain. It is also contagious. When you start laughing, I'm going to start laughing. And humor, laughter, and smiles is something that there's so many things inside of that type of concept of laughing and smiling that is good for you. It's good for your personality. Now they say when you apply for a job, do a little humor. Use that. That's something that they're looking for now when for jobs. And the most important reason, I go over this in the workshop, I have a list of like 20 of them, why you want humor and laughter in your life. The most important reason is that it will make you live a longer life. And you know why I know that? I Googled it. I'm just kidding. The point of the matter is that it really is good for your mind, body, and soul. And they always say that what? Medicine, that humor is good medicine. It's so good. And that's why, and I'm not saying that if you're suffering, you're going to put on a Robin Williams tape and you're going to start laughing. You might not because you're really going through a hard time. But give it a try. Try other wellness tools. You know, there's no magic pill. I knew that. I tried the magic pill, the magic psychiatrist, and the magic talker. It didn't work. I'm still on medicine now. I don't need a therapist. I am my own therapist, but I'm still on medicine. I haven't gotten rid of that. I see a psychiatrist, but the point of the matter is I use all these other types of wellness tools. I meditate. I go to church. I go to, I do walking around the block. I do exercise. I do hypnosis. These are things that you can add to your therapy. You can have to your recovery. And that's why it's so important to have the three amigos of mental health in your life. So get Mrs. Staying Alive to speak and perform and do comedy for you. And most importantly, have Michael Weitzman, Bipolar No Longer, to even just talk to you. I have a menu. I can just do a radio show and not be funny. I can just do a TV show and do Mrs. Staying Alive and make you crack up. Or I can do the Three Amigos with a lot of humor or less humor. Whatever you want, I have a menu. Michael can cater to whatever you're looking for of the Three Amigos of mental health. But if you're asking me why humor, it is so important for your mental and physical self. Even Bob Hope lived to 100. George Burns lived to 100. I'm not saying all comedians live long lives, but it sure doesn't hurt. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, that definitely doesn't hurt. So besides speaking and performing and having all this fun, what else are you doing?
What I'm doing right now, I work at a psychiatric hospital in Harrison, New York. I'm also involved with NAMI, involved in the New York State, a great organization as well. I am also involved with mental health aid, first aid. The most important thing, I'm a trained, certified New York trained peer support specialist. Even at my own job, I do different roles there as a care coordinator. I am just heavily in the mental health field. I build an incredible resume of many different things that I'm doing. I do the conferences. I do the Three Amigos of Mental Health all over. I am doing other comedy for a gentleman to stand up for mental health. I am involved in so many things in mental health, and I had to build that resume for the last 4.5-5 years. And that's what it is. But the most important thing that gives me the satisfaction is really speaking and performing in front of people. And if I can just connect with that one person that comes out of the closet that is suffering and has never done anything about it, or educated that gentleman or woman that doesn't understand what mental illness tastes like and feel like, I can tell them, I can show them what it feels like. In my props, I have a ticking time bomb. I have the cave of hell. I have a neon sign, like it doesn't go away. I use the props in my workshop, and I throw things in the audience. I make it interactive. I make it fun to talk about mental health. And then I do a little bit about disabilities and chronic illnesses as well, and the elderly. And I go into suicide prevention and addiction. There's so many things I get into because I believe these are the things going on in our life. It's not these people's fault. It's not my fault. And I want to help people get over this, at least work on it, and try other things. Let me be a resource, another resource in their life, that whatever they're doing now, use me as well. Let me speak and perform. And that is just the things that I'm doing. And I'm really writing my book. That is, once I get that book launched, that can change, I would say, my whole life, because the Three Amigos of Mental Health book is going to tell everything about where I went through, some of the things I talked about today, but it's all going to be about how can I help people in each chapter. How is that going to be educational and helpful for people struggling or not struggling or struggling in silence? So the book, and then hopefully the movie of all movies, and then, of course, I would love to go on Broadway. I would love to go. The Three Amigos of Mental Health on Broadway. They have Dear Evan Hansen that deals with a suicide. So they do talk about these things. It's on Broadway, so why not me? Why not? I think big. I'm not thinking small. I want to do what I can and use the passion inside of me to make people go from discovery to recovery. And then my favorite one is to go from recovery to discovery, where I am at this particular time.
Yes, that sounds amazing. I think you're doing a wonderful job. And I'm so grateful that you joined us. Thank you so much for letting us know. And please let me know every time that you do something else so that we can join in and follow what you do, like when your book is published or whenever you do something new, we really would like to hear about it.
I'll definitely let you know. And just to remind, if they ever want to call, they can even call me on my cell. It's 914-523-5766. The email again is mweitzman3, that's mweitzman3@gmail.com. Weitzman Michael for Instagram. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on at M. Weitzman on Twitter. I'm all over the social media getting as much exposure as I can to make a difference in people's lives and really get rid of the stigma and get people to deal with acceptance, use my story and use wellness tools. And most importantly, use humor in your mental health and your physical health as much as you can.
Thank you so much, Michael. We really, really appreciate it. And
no problem. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. We've come to the end of our time together here on Tippy Talk. We've been talking to Michael Weitzman, the three amigos of mental health, who not only performed on countless workshops, but is also writing a book and doing so many other things. So if you want to get a hold of him, you know how. You just got all the information. And I think I will post it also right here on the summary. If you're listening to this on the internet, you will see it right below. We're looking forward from hearing from you again, Michael. It's been a great pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, and good luck, and good bless. God bless.
God bless. Don't forget that we want your story to all our listeners. We're here to listen to your story and to share your gift. So if you have a story, don't sit around and try to figure out if it's an inspirational story. Tippy Talk knows that your story is special, and we want to hear it. You've been listening to Tippy Talk. My name is Tippy Feldenstein, and I have a book on Amazon if you want to check it out. It's called Wake Up and Plan for Roses, and you can either type in my name or this title, and you can get a hold of it. Until then, we bid you a magical journey and let your talent be your potion. And don't forget, we're here so that you can be here with us.
Flying high like a bird with your aviators, but your heart